Dropped into Juicebox Radio, where sexuality educators quench your search for responsible, progressive sexuality over your lifespan. Plane flying. That's what I've been doing so much of lately, flying on planes, which is why I've not been in the juice box.
Well, you know what? I've been flying too, but you've had
oh my gosh, honey. Sorry, I don't have you on. What do you say? You've been flying too.
Sorry.
It's all right. It's been a while since I engineered. I apologize.
That's all right. I'm feeling invisible, but that's okay.
Oh,
I'm
going to
need
on.
Therapy.
You're on now, darling.
Therapy. Therapy. And juice box. That's you, sexual therapy.
Not tonight. We're going to be talking about first time, so...
Oh, that's right. We're going to be talking about cherry popping.
Cherry popping. And we're glad you're here because there's a lot of ways you can listen to the show. CITR.ca live right now. I'm sure we have a few listeners, at least 100 I can see. And if you ever miss a show, you can also download our podcast. But... our podcasts have not been so successful lately. Our last podcast was August 22nd, so we're going to be much better now because September is like a new year for me, always. I always consider September the beginning of a new year.
It's
so
a new everything. It's
Burning Man has something to do with that. Starting school has something to do with that. And so here we are. We're going to be all fresh and lively. And tonight, because it's sort of the first of the season, the first of the new year.
We're talking about first times.
And it's actually the fourth edition of this show, a totally new and different one tonight. But we always tend to try to do a little first-timers show in September, the first time that we're live on the air anyway. And we're going to be taking calls tonight. So call in, contribute to the conversation. Otherwise, please don't call. and that's at 604-822-2487. That is 604-UBC-CITR. That is what you're listening to. So,
let's start here. Imagine you're standing on the edge of a diving board, 100 feet above the pool. If you're ready to try diving, you know how, and you really, really want to do it, your mind, your body will cooperate and let you. You may not execute it perfectly the first time, but you'll feel good trying, and you won't kill yourself either. On the other hand, if you're not ready, you don't know why, or you don't want to, your body and your mind just aren't going to let you do it. Your feet will keep itching, inching, inching back, and your heart will race, and your head will say no, 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 1,000 times over, and you won't be able to jump. That's a good thing. It's just the way our bodies and minds work together to keep us safe.
The same goes with sexual intercourse. To begin with, if you and your partner both really aren't prepared, ready, or willing, it just isn't going to work. And it may actually very well hurt, and you won't likely enjoy yourselves, and no one's going to have a good time and enjoy mutually beneficial sex. We're going to talk a lot about that sort of in the next half hour. So what is mutually beneficial? How do you make it happen that way?
So for starters, bear that in mind. Even if you think you're ready now, reading this, hearing this, and you get there and change your mind. I should stop reading my notes out loud, shouldn't I, Julie?
It's been a while. We're a bit rusty.
It's been a while.
We're getting warmed up again.
It's just don't be afraid to say stop.
Yeah.
And stop all the action. Wait for another time.
Yeah, totally. That is something I always tell my young learners. Absolutely. It's okay to stop at any time and start doing something else or completely stop what you're doing and take a breather, go to the bathroom, calm down.
Especially if you're going to the bathroom. Unless you're into play.
Unless you're into the shower, golden showers. We're going to talk about that on another show. But one of the biggest facets of sexual maturity is knowing your own limits and being able to clearly and freely voice them and act upon them. And those are your limits. Those are your boundaries. And if you can't do that or you don't feel okay doing that, you need to learn to talk about it before you get into bed with anyone. Because sexuality is something that's with you your whole life. So if you want to wait, all those little virgins out there, vaginal virgins and intercourse virgins we're going to be talking to a little bit tonight, the nice thing is that your sexuality will wait too, and your sex life goes by the pace that you set, not the other way around, although sometimes, a lot of times in society, pressure to be sexual is so huge that we want to kind of keep up with the Joneses and always... lose our virginity as quick as possible, get it over with. That's such a common thing I hear. And so we're going to be speaking a little bit about that tonight.
Mm-hmm. Some of the myths. And women.
And men and women, some of the things that you can expect to how to deal with certain areas. And then in the second half of the show, we're going to be talking about anal sex. Because for a lot of people, even if you've been having vaginal sex or other kinds of gay sex, whatever, penetrative stuff, you haven't, or playing in other ways, you haven't necessarily had anal. And anal is a pretty interesting area of sexuality to be kind of careful about it. It's something that you need to be quite educated on. So we're going to talk about that in the second half.
And according to Details Magazine, 40% of heterosexual couples engage in anal intercourse.
40%. Wow. 40%. I'm not in that 40%. So when you're thinking about vaginal intercourse with an opposite sex partner and you've got everything you think you need, like materially in terms of your relationship, emotionally, you're probably still, curious and questioning because you want to know how to make it all work your first time. Because the bulk of questions that educators get asked about first intercourse is it going to hurt? This is something that constantly get asked. Will it hurt? That's like the first question I always get asked. Am I going to bleed? Will I hate it? I'm so scared. What do I do? Why isn't my boyfriend talking to me now that we've had penetrative sex for the first time? I personally have experienced, like, even recently, a male finally having intercourse and then them turning into somebody different. And I mean, I'm 38 years old. I've been having sex for a long time, and it happens.
Can you describe it, Julie?
So there's like a male reaction that can sometimes happen once they've penetrated you, that makes them feel like they've conquered you, and so now they're kind of interested in other conquering, other kind of things to catch and to have. A lot of times, people that are having sex for the first time, like, why didn't I orgasm? Why didn't it feel like anything? I've actually had, people doing it for the first time, girls, like, not feeling it. Well, that could be that they're a little larger and or their partner is smaller. It really just felt like a finger kind of thing.
So they might have a wide-set vagina, in other words.
Right, they might just,
and it might not be a good fit.
And or the penetrator is got a particularly small...
Penis.
So, yeah. So that's what tonight's show is about, and... Let's talk about sex. There's the top 20 facts from about.com, which I think Caroline found particularly
entertaining.
So we're going to speak to that one first.
Number one, when you have sex, you can get pregnant. And guys, you may not carry the baby, but you still get pregnant. And yes, one of the things that I did want to add is apparently you can get pregnant during anal sex as well, mm-hmm. because sperm do swim.
Mm-hmm. And there's lots of lube, hopefully, when you're having anal sex. We're going to talk about that. Lots of lube. So it doesn't take much for a sperm to travel from a very small hole in your vaginal area and or whatever down to your anus and in back and forth, and it kind of can get around quite easily. And yeah, in the pre-cum as well. So even in the pre-ejaculate, the excited penis will put out some fluid, and that fluid will often, more often than not, have sperm in it. So even just rubbing genitals around, you can get pregnant, girls. Okay, so just want to clear that myth up right away.
Number two, the only forms of birth control that work with reliability for the inexperienced are condoms, birth control pills taken at least a month before and on a regular basis, not skipping days or anything like that. Mm-hmm. A female condoms, the sponge, spermicide, Depo-Provera, which neither Julia nor I are huge fans of.
No, terrible. Do not use that. Do not use that, please.
Norplant?
That's just the pill.
That scares me, isn't it?
That's just the pill in the sticks that they put under your skin.
IUD and diaphragm.
And, you know, the IUD and diaphragm, these are not necessarily a lot of reliability. I don't know. The IUD depends on if it's got the drug in it, if it's got the hormone in it. If it's just a traditional IUD, it's only at about 80%. It's not absolute. So.
And a diaphragm can be all right if you put it in properly.
With spermicide, spermicide, more than you think you're going to need with the IUD.
And
you can leave it in for 5 hours, 5 to 7 hours, or 8 or something. I don't know.
So you almost have to pre-plan it.
Read the thing. Well, the diaphragm's kind of nice that way. You can put it in well before you have any kind of foreplay or... You can put it in before you go on your date, and you can have it in, and then you can use your condom, and that's pretty good. If you use a condom and a diaphragm and spermicide, you're pretty good. That's like 98% or something. So, anyway, Julia is a big advocate of the fertility awareness method, and it's been failing her lately. In a big way. So I think that sort of the rhythm and the cycles and the fertility awareness requires a lot of real experience and is not for first-timers. I highly recommend that you do not use this method if you're young. And if you're perimenopausal as well or you know, going through menopause because you're so irregular in your cycles at the beginning of your menstruation, so for the first 5 years of your menstruation, which could be from 8 years old for a girl to, you know, you start at 12 or 13, to when you're perimenopausal, like, you know, maybe your mid-40s, kind of thing, you shouldn't be using the rhythm method as your primary. But for women that have very regular cycles, they can count when they ovulate, they look at the lunar ovulation, etc., then it can be a method. But anyway, this is not what the show's about tonight. So
you can still get STIs and even AIDS your first time.
Yes, you can. And actually, a lot of girls think that if you stand up right away and jump up and down and like squish the ejaculate out of your vagina, that you won't get pregnant. That is not a good method.
But does it help if you get up and urinate afterwards?
It helps you prevent UTIs, STIs. Which is like, you know, urinary tract infection, which can happen to a lot of girls very easily with penetrative sex because all this stuff gets jammed up inside your urethra, which is right between the base of your sort of clitoris and the opening of your vagina. There's a tiny little hole there, which is a urethra, and that gets stuffed full of stuff, you know, like all kinds of things. And if you're not particularly clean or he isn't, you know, it gets full of bacteria. And then, so it's always a good idea to pee.
Okay. I was just imagining clitty litter would look like on the underwear after that. That'd be really disgusting.
The clitty litter?
Yes, I got that from you.
It's not disgusting, honey. It's just discharge. Your vagina is naturally cleaning itself, and it creates a little bit of whiteness on your underwear.
But if there's that bacteria combined with it, so at least it's better it's out of the body.
There's always bacteria in clitty litter. Okay.
I'm thinking crusty clitter litter. I just think it's...
Okay, the only 100% perfect protection against AIDS, STIs, pregnancy is not having sex, is abstaining.
Amen to that.
And my girlfriend here, my girlfriend Caroline, she is an abstainer. Okay, so you probably...
And there is the Christians on campus tonight.
And there are a lot of actually. Christians and a lot of very religious people, and we want to respect them, and we're going to have them on the air pretty soon. We want to talk to them about...
We do.
How they deal with their God-given urges. And we're going to talk to them about that. All right, so we want to respect that. You probably, first-timers, just so you know, you probably won't know what you're doing or if you're actually doing it right. Try not to worry too much about that. Sort of as long as it's consensual and it's not painful, there's sort of no particularly right way. And everybody has specific things that they like or don't like. And as long as you're both having a good time and it's consensual, I'd say that that's pretty good. You're in the ballpark of the right way. Takes a lifetime to figure out what you're doing. Anyway, okay.
Your body may not cooperate. Even if your mind wants to have sex, your body will have an opinion too. Mm-hmm. In other words, guys, erections may not be reliable. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I find they come a little too quick if it's the first time.
A lot of
time.
Guys do, yeah, especially the first few times.
A lot of the guys I've interviewed for different articles have said that. Mm-hmm. Usually,
even way older guys, forever. They've had a million lovers, whatever, and they're doing it with a woman for the first time. There's a lot of that excitement. It could be the conquering thing again.
That's true.
It could be that, you know, it's exciting. It's
the
new,
whole caveman.
It's a new... Are we sounding bitter tonight a little bit? All right.
And
so,
girls not lubricating equals normal sometimes because they don't know what makes them happy and makes them excited yet.
And they're nervous. And if you're not relaxed, girls, your vagina will dry up, and that is normal throughout your whole life.
I had this imagine of it shriveling up. Can you imagine that in a cartoon? I'll shrivel up into your little pucker hole like other parts of the anatomy.
Which you're going to talk about.
Yes, we are.
All right. So one of the things, though, about the boy's erection is not being reliable. If it's like you're sort of losing your vaginal, penile, virginity. I can't even say it. It's been so long. The thing that one of the main causes of erectile dysfunction over a boy's lifetime, man's lifetime, is that their first times, their erections don't work. They don't, you know, last. They sort of up and down, and they aren't having successful penetrative sex. And so from then on forward, the mind starts to think, oh, there's something wrong with my body. So then they start to have these mechanisms that kind of shut stuff off and get anxiety. And as soon as you're anxious, if a man or boy is anxious about having sex, their erection will disappear. So in first times, you have to understand that, like, under the age of 17, 18, your erections are going to be sketchy. They might feel like you're constantly having them, and they won't go away, and they come at the most inopportune times and things like that. But if you have any kind of anxiety, like when you're first penetrating a woman kind of thing or whatever, the first few times you ever do it, and you lose your erection, that's perfectly normal and natural at any age, actually. But when you're young, you start to associate that with you not being healthy or something's wrong with your body. So those are our main sort of points, I think, about the first times. You know, I think it's important to remember that the body's not always going to function exactly the way.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and there's a few more, sorry. Right.
Well, the other one I was just going to say is, and I know we touched on this a bit earlier, is you can always change your mind and say no, no matter
at
where,
any
at any time. Yeah. Just try not to be too much of a tease on that one. Well, it's true. It's just being careful. It's true. You have the right to say no, obviously, at any given time. But
if you say yes, 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 and then you want to say no, mm-hmm. you're saying that that's not advisable? You should give them a blowjob to ease the thing off? I mean, this is what we used to do in the 80s, honey, when we were in high school.
Yeah, it's called almost. But just being careful. That's all.
Okay.
Just being really careful, but really thinking about it beforehand. Like, if you're getting uneasy feelings, say when you're just making out and you're just kissing and it's moving to the bedroom and your gut instinct's going off just saying no at that point, don't get it to the point where you're rubbing your genitals against genitals, because that's not really fair. I understand, yes, you know, that stop. And I think I've been guilty of that myself at some point, but it's also that's really hard on both parties. And like you said, Julie, earlier, you could get pregnant from just the rubbing against each other anyway. So, I mean, you wouldn't even have the benefit of having sex and you get knocked up.
I think you're right. But what we're talking about, I think, is communication as well, and just wanting to ensure that you're being true to yourself as much as possible
and at true all to times. Your partner as well. And by doing that, it's just being very open and honest, like you're saying.
Yeah, and you know, your feelings around first time, you know, often they're going to be very mixed. It's not going to go the way you plan, and it's best to plan the birth control, obviously. The time and the place is a good idea to plan that stuff, but you can't always plan how you're going to feel.
How did you plan your first time?
I wanted to make sure that I was at least 15. I waited until 5 days after I was 15. Isn't that terrible? Anyway, but I was with the man that I was in love with, and we've been together for 8 months, and we were together for a year after that, and I have no regrets about it at all. It was on the bedroom floor. It was on my bedroom floor, and I was actually falling down the heat grate at the time, and I was sort of freaking out about that. But my bed was so squeaky and noisy, and
you
so
wanna,
I
were
had
the parents
to,
home? Or?
Yeah, I was at home. I was 15. I lived at home. And my parents were fine about having my boyfriend around. They liked him. He thought it was great.
Did they have any idea, like, how far along, or... Like, did you tell them or
that I was going to pop my cherry that night? No.
No, but I
don't think I planned it. I think that, like, my boyfriend had a lot planned. I think he had some plans. Because, you know, we've been going out for 8 months. And I was like, I can't. I have to wait till my sweet 16. He's like, I'm not waiting till your sweet 16. Because that was going to be another year and 6 months away. And
he was
24.
Okay.
He was only willing to wait so long. Is that pedophilia?
Yes, actually,
you know,
it would
I think
be.
He's 24. I was 15.
We have to check where the statute of limitations.
I should send him this podcast. He'd be like, oh my God, we're still friends. Anyway, all right. So let's not talk about me anymore, okay? If you're this particular about.com says, if you're a girl, it's not going to feel very good feelings wise. If you're a boy, it will be over so fast you won't know for sure how it felt.
It's true. I really thought mine was going to be really, really super romantic. I envisioned Elvis Presley's I Can't Help Falling in Love with You on a record player, because back then it was record players. People just started getting CD players or... Is it CDs? Yes.
No, it was not CD players back
but
then.
But it was records
Tape.
Back then.
Oh, records.
It was records.
Tapes, maybe.
And I just went to hear the crackling and being up at Whistler in front of a fire and having sex on a bearskin carpet is what I wanted. And it'd be totally romantic and
what
drinking
happened?
Hot
were
chocolate.
Were you falling down the heat grate like me?
No, we were watching The Land Before Time, and I wanted to see how far it would go in before it broke. And
What broke? Your hymen?
Yes. And all of a sudden
well, let's
like,
talk about that for a minute.
Yes, okay, let's talk about that. Pain and bleeding, speaking of. This actually leads right into this part, doesn't it? That, like mine, the hymen may not be fully eroded.
It's an interesting choice of words. Even if it has been somewhat, as in for many young women, even those who have not had any sort of sex.
Riding a
hymen,
horse.
Yes, riding a horse, riding a bicycle. If you kind of climb over things and stretch your vulva, if you stretch the sort of opening between your like anus and your vagina at all, it's going to stretch your hymen. So the hymen may be eroded completely. This is a eroded word. Oh, my God.
I love that word.
So more commonly, you may just be so nervous, girls, anxious or keyed up that your vagina is tensing up on you. And anyone, I mean, any age, your vagina will tense up. It can. It's not unusual. So go slow. And if it really hurts, stop. I mean, take a couple of minutes where the penis is sort of just pressed against your opening. Perhaps stimulate your clitoris literal with your finger or have them do it. Take a big break to talk or to snuggle. And if you're ready, try again. And you may have to do this a number of times. And since it should be still enjoyable and intimate, there's absolutely no need to apologize for it, girls. In fact, you may find that you don't want to be deeply penetrated on the first try. Just a little bit, the head, that kind of thing, that's just fine as well. Any sort of sex isn't a one-shot deal. Again, like I'd said, it's a lifelong experience. So anyone in a hurry to get it over with is actually completely missing the boat. So you may bleed a little, girls. You may bleed a lot. Caroline had some big issues. She bled a lot. I didn't bleed at all.
Really?
Actually, my first time was one of the least painful experiences of my life. The sex I had for about 4 or 5 years after that was always painful. Every time I was penetrated, it was painful.
But the first time?
First time didn't hurt at all.
Really?
No. And so, girls, it can be all kinds of variety of things. And you're going to be nervous. You might be a little scared. Not necessarily in a bad way, but you're gonna experience a little something for sure. And if you don't, you're probably way too loaded to be having sex in the first place.
Yeah, and you will feel differently about yourself and the other person. Not necessarily in a bad way, but it'll make you re-examine yourself as well.
Mm-hmm. And I think in a lot of young people that want to have penetrative sex, they think they're going to all of a sudden make them into a man or a woman. And that is not going to happen. That is not an output of having... You might feel relieved that it's over with, that mm-hmm. you've popped your cherry, it's over with, you've done it. But it's not going to make you into a man or woman overnight. A lot of young people think it will.
No, and as long as you know that you're ready and you care about the person you're with, hopefully you should enjoy yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because it should be a nice foundation of trust. I know I was with my guy for 10 months before I did, mm-hmm. and you were with yours for 8 months.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, and I'm glad I did that. I really do. And I talked about it a lot beforehand, just getting it over with. Lots mm-hmm. of the girls I was hanging out with were like, let's get this over with, like... You know, who's going to go first? Just do it. You know, I know a lot of girls, and including people I can't mention right now. Bite your tongue, Julia.
Somebody I know, though?
Yes.
Okay. I'll ask after the show.
That were like, I'm getting it over with. I don't care. And they just picked someone and did it and then bled all over the bed and made a big mess. And it was a horrible, embarrassing experience. And yeah. It was a horrible first time. So
I waited till I was 18, yeah. almost 19, actually. So it was a late bloomer.
I think regrets are normal. Sometimes when you mm-hmm. have penetrative intercourse for the first time, regrets are normal. Anal sex, we're going to have a little talk about that after this. After this break, I think the guy stuff, just quickly, first intercourse can be a little less nerve-wracking for you because sometimes you don't have to worry about this pain thing. There's no association with pain with men and penetration. That, you know, there might be an experience of that, but it's a very rare one and it's not something you hear about. So, you know, there's a lot less problem. There is performance anxiety. There is worry about getting a partner pregnant. There are STI concerns, hurting the partner, fears that you're just not going to do things right. So, you know, guys, I just want to tell you that most positions for intercourse will work out fine for you. You're still most likely to be able to figure things out with either on top or the female partner on top because both that way you both have a better view about what is sort of happening down there, as well as better control. There's benefits and, you know, negatives for either position around coming too soon for guys. When the girl is on top, the guy has really no control, so he can come really fast. If he's on top, then he can control depth and speed, and he can pull out and calm down or whatever.
And for guys or girls, I think it's just... It takes a little bit of time regardless,
yeah.
even whether it's the first time for a new partner
yeah.
or whether it's the first time ever. Sometimes it takes a little bit where it's trying to figure out how to move your hips in rhythm with that person.
That's right.
And especially the first couple times, it's... Mm-hmm. I remember thinking it was the most foreign, strange thing, that somebody's shoving this thing up inside.
Mm-hmm.
That's just
and
weird.
I think just speaking to the guys at this moment, like if you get nervous, it's okay. Like I said, losing an erection, sex isn't just about your penis. It's, you know, it's less visible with women that they're nervous. But women, you know, we have the ability to just spit on our hands and put it on our vulva and our labia and get, you know, lubricated that way at any time or use lubricant, whereas guys need to have this erection, you know, to sort of feel like they're doing something successful. So, again, if you're feeling nervous, guys, just say so. Be, you know, honest and... if you ejaculate quicker than you'd like, there's not a big problem. I mean, your partner, especially if you're young, you probably won't even lose your erection. It's like you like afterwards, whatever. And if you're a little older, whatever, you just takes 20 minutes, half an hour, 10 minutes, mm-hmm. an hour, whatever. There's lots of things you can do that don't involve an erection. So first times. So be sure and play your part in sexual responsibility when it comes to safer sex and birth control, please. Not only is that vital to your health, but not worrying about pregnancy and infections makes it a lot easier for both of you to be relaxed. So do plan ahead. And yeah, that's the cherry popping 101.
It is.
First intercourse 101.
If you want a little bit more information about that, There's lots of movies and things to get some ideas.
Scarleteen.com is really good.
It's great. Website. I was actually going to say, in terms of just being really being aware of who's been where and all that sort of thing, it's an old one, but the movie Kids is actually really, really good. Mm. Where it's quite scary, where the girl actually ends up later on. It's going to be another show topic, but she goes with her friend to go in to get an AIDS test and only takes it so then that way her friend will feel okay, and she's only slept with one person. And when they get their test results, she's the one that it has. Wow. She's HIV positive.
Wow. Okay. So that's good sex ed movie for people to watch.
I think it's a good one, just in terms of awareness, because it's pretty gritty. I think we should take a short break.
Yeah, I really need one. My goodness.
So keep that dial locked, and we welcome your calls at this time. And you can tell us about your cherry popping stories, and if you've got any about anal. Let us know, and some advice, because we've got some advice to give you, too. So give us a call at 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. You are in Juice Box, featured on Vancouver's CITR 101.9 FM. We'll be right back.
Something tells you you should go. Deep down you have always known. Something sweet is on the other side. Mama's gonna cry for you. Papa might disown you. You are getting ready for the ride. So won't you come over here? Come over here. Come over here. Come over here. The shirt you think you like, there's all kinds of shades of white. Embrace the color in your life. You can't see beyond the wall. Paradise for those who fall out of grace or simply out of sight. So won't you come over here?
Stressed, anxious, lost? AMS Speakeasy Peer Support is here to help. We offer free and confidential support to all members of the UBC community. Located at the north entrance of the sub, we offer drop-in peer support, information, in-person and email referrals, and operate an after-hours crisis line. Call 604-822-3700 for support, or check out ams.ubc.ca/speakeasy for further information.
Juice Box is a sexuality education show geared to adult audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome back to Juice Box Radio. Cherry popping. We're continuing for the second half for the anal intruders out there. Next up, but first, juice berries.
On Friday, September 14th. 8 p.m. That is when, if you have a schoolgirl outfit, get it out and come on down to Radia Fitness. They're having the back-to-school event, and Luscious Dance is going to be there.
Uh-huh.
The Radia Dance Team. And moi. And a whole bunch of the other girls.
And are you going to be doing some dancing, some pole dancing?
I am going to be doing some pole dancing with my clothing on. And then afterwards, we're trying to get 100 women out. And it's a free event. It's going to be a great time. You're going to get to check out some pole dancing. It's going to be fun. After that, we're going to head down to Brandy's, and which is one of my favorite strip clubs in the city.
Yeah, it's very high-end. It's very
good. And can you imagine those guys' faces when 100 women pop in there?
With schoolgirl outfits?
As schoolgirls. You got it.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that's Juiceberry number one. Juiceberry number two is the Love Grace Affair.
Uh-huh.
And finally, it's the event that everyone has been waiting for, especially me. I've been living it, wanting it ever since the 80s, since I went to Love Affair the first time when I was 15 years old. Anyways,
yes.
For all of those of you who indulged in debauchery and good times at Love Affair in Graceland, the Gandhi Dancer and all those good old places.
The Gandhi Dancer.
It's going to be on Wednesday, September 26th, the Juicebox Girls are going to be in the house.
For sure. After our show, we're racing right down to Dicks on Dicks, which is the old word for Riches on Riches. I don't know. We still call it Dicks on Dicks. For sure they do.
No, nobody calls it Dicks on Dicks
whatever.
Anymore.
Whatever. Anyway, so you can find out more about it at loveandgraceaffair.com, and that is L-U-V-N, loveandgraceaffair.com. So, honestly, I think legendary clubs in Vancouver, Love Affair and Graceland. So from the late 70s until 2003 when they closed down, this is going to be a fabulous event. We'll definitely be there.
I am looking forward to it.
September 26th, so that's coming up in 2 weeks.
So let's talk about anal, trench hole, the rosebud, the barking brown spider. I can't believe you called it that, Julia. It still disturbed me. I don't like spiders.
Whatever you want to call that extra sensitive area of our genitals, doing anal for the first time can be even more
treacherous
than the vaginal. So Caroline and I found a really hilarious site that we just thought, you know what, we're just going to take this and we're going to read pieces of it because it's hilarious. It's from rotten.com, I think.
And if you get a chance to check it out,
the pictures amazing.
Are fabulous. They're very black and white.
Very, very old school. Vintage pictures of a lot of anal play happening.
Especially that one where that woman's got that guy's butt spread and she's got a tongue
like eyeballs are like looking. Her eyeballs are like looking up, and because they didn't know about that kind of thing back then, she looks like a freaking alien, but she's got this big tongue going into his anus.
She could be a Raelian. Like Rocket Man.
All right, so anal sex, people often think that it has something to do with penetration and the penis humping a rectum rather than penetrating a vagina. But anal sex also encompasses fingering, finger fucking the anus or the rectum, anal fisting, just what the name implies. It also involves rimming, which is oral sex, anal 69, which is a rim job for two, which can be a bit of a bend. You gotta be flexible. Anal penetration with dildos and other objects, and the augmentation of conventional sexual intercourse with butt plugs, anal beads, and of course shoving bizarre objects like live hamsters up your asshole. Lately, although somewhat in a class all by itself, there's poo fetishism. I don't think it's been
poo
lately.
Fetish?
I think it's actually been quite a while.
I thought for most people that's kind of incidental and reasonably avoidable.
The poo? Yeah.
Yes. Relieve the poo. It's goo. Keep it away. It's like ew, ew, poo. And now I sound like Dr. Seuss. Hoo hoo. Leave the practitioners of the art to focus on the varied and subtle sensations which accompany anal sex.
So avoid the poo.
Avoid the poo.
Right.
Boo hoo hoo. There's poo.
Okay, you've got three pages of stuff to get through here, okay?
All right.
The poo is incidental, okay? The nature and quality of these sensations that you're going to be doing with anal play depends on how and where a partner is stimulated during anal sex, which is... For some people, I mean, I've penetrated some men for the first time. I've taken some anal virginity quite a bit over the years. Men tend to not experience this. And so their sensations that they describe to me range from sort of this warm, wet sensuality of the tender rim job to the more intense and tingly pleasures of lubed fingers in the anus. Penetration by fingers or a large penis or dildo can sometimes produce... you know, pretty full feeling. Like, that's the sensation of being full. Sometimes you feel like you really have to take a shit when somebody gets inside you. As well as sort of the psychological sensation as being possessed or, like, accepted or alternatively violated. And this depends on the personal fantasies of the individual and of the moment and of the lovers and et cetera.
To penetrate someone anally is in itself a novel field of exploration.
Mm-hmm.
The sensations of entering a clean yet slippery lubed rectum is remarkably similar to entering a clean yet slippery vagina, warm, soft, and equipped with soft, erotically sensitive skin and firm, responsive muscle tissue. Some women and some bi homosexual men find a special thrill, an emotional thrill, in being able to penetrate their male partner. In addition to the
unconscious... I agree with this women penetrating the male partner business.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's good.
So does Anne Rice. She's got in one of her books, Exit to Eden.
I like it.
I've never done it, so
there's this
know.
Unconscious power issue of who's penetrated by who.
Hmm.
It's good. And there's the sensual experience of being inside of your beloved or
partner
or your sex partner, of entering into his or her body in a place that's sort of vulnerable and tender and soft. I mean, there's this sort of, there's a lot of emotional, mental things that go on with that.
Very exciting. Much anal play usually occurs in conjunction with genital sex play, expanding the range of sensation physically as well as emotionally. The simple fact is the anus is, it's much...
maligned in various cultures.
Yeah, I don't know how to describe that.
Sort of just like, you know, people talk about it being dirty and you shouldn't go near there and it's wrong and bad, but it's actually... You know,
rich with nerve endings.
Yes, and extremely capable of sensual stimulation. Very much so. So people need to get over some of their issues with it. Their issues with the poo business. We're going to talk a little bit about this. And, you know, and just like the emotional, mental, social issues that come with anal play. But, you know, yeah, it is highly sensitive. So once people become interested in anal play, they often become eager to try this wide variety of dildos and other anal toys and the textures, shapes, sizes, with and without vibration. But many people who experiment with anal sex never kind of uncover the rich potential that the stimulation, because the stimulation can be so painful for some people, and it's done wrong, and then they're entirely convinced it's not all it's cracked up to be. And a lot of anal virgins are introduced to anal play by someone who's inexperienced as they are, and some equally ignorant of the important elements of successful anal sex, which we're going to talk about. So, you know, similar to a virgin girl, there's going to be some discomfort. You got to kind of work with that. So there's some crucial elements for the pleasurable anal sex. There's some critical elements. What are those elements, do you think?
I'd say the big one definitely would have to be lubricants. I can't imagine even indulging in that without lube.
Yeah.
Vaginal play, you obviously get natural lube, which
and
some women...
enough sometimes with your mouth. I mean, with your spit, you can use a spit and that's enough.
Whereas
in the anus, no.
No, you definitely need that because it just does not self-lubricate. And natural lubricants from the mouth of vagina, it's just not sufficient either.
And also, I think a relaxed atmosphere, patience, very important, plenty of lubrication. We're going to talk about how that patience works.
Mm-hmm.
Because the anus actually tends to reflexively clench up when it's first invaded.
So, in other words, you should start small.
As all the more with newbies. Like, even a pinky finger in a new anal, you know, penetration will be like, whoa, you know, when things clench up.
Mm-hmm.
So shoving a large penis directly into the rectum is going to result in pain.
Mm-hmm. Discomfort at the absolute best.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess it would be best to start with plenty of lube and begin small, like we were saying. And like you said, even a pinky is going to hurt, but you started off...
Still discomfort, yeah.
Yeah, started off really, really super slow with inserting a single finger. And then gradually, like you would with the vagina, you'd work up to two. Because I remember back in the day. So, then later...
I think we still like two fingers.
I like one, but that's a whole story.
I like one as well, the middle one, but I'm just saying sometimes you need two.
Yeah, point taken, okay.
Never increase the size or amount of fingers used to dilate the rectum until what you're currently using has become completely comfortable and your partner indicates that he or she's ready for more, like says, I want more, I want more. The person, very key, the person being penetrated must be in charge.
At least for these initial experiences. And I just wanted to add one more thing in regards to this, both for anal as well as vagina. Just a really cute story. I had a girlfriend of mine who, when she first got penetrated vaginally, Vaginally. She told me that he'd used four fingers, and I thought that sounded like the most painful thing ever.
It's close to the fist.
Once she lost her virginity, she managed to tell me that it was actually only one, but it hurt so much she thought he had four fingers in there.
Oh my God! See,
so it's,
be careful, people penetrating vaginas and anuses. So finally, when both partners are ready, a penis or a large dildo may be inserted, or some kind of dildo. Slim dildos are sold specifically for anal pleasuring. So sometimes you see these little skinny dildos and you're like, what's the point of that? I guess better small as my finger or like whatever. But yeah, a lot of times those are for anal. No matter which one, who's inserting in the rectum, it should be inserted slowly. And honestly, I think this is the trick that often has gone awry, is that when you first penetrate anally, you should just insert an inch and then just stop. And like wait,
and let the body adjust.
Yes, let the rectal tissue and the sphincters open up and accept the fact that it's not an exit thing happening.
Mm-hmm.
There's an entrance happening, and it's like, yeah. And then sort of they'll release, and once they've relaxed, then you can begin. You can even pull out a little bit and go back in. I think letting your partner guide you is very important.
And be prepared to pull out if you're immediately if you're asked to, because all of this, I guess what we're getting at is basically patience and clear communication, not to mention the possibility of having to stop suddenly and completely, making it absolutely essential to experience in a relaxed atmosphere. And the playfulness, it doesn't arise from resentfulness or cohesion, and neither does mutual pleasure.
Yeah, coercion. It's Yeah, so anal sex is very important. Naturally, even with all three of the critical ingredients that we've listed, the lubricant, the patience, the relaxedness, many people will never enjoy or even try anal sex, and that's normal too. Like we were talking about, pre-existent ideas of sin, dirtiness, moral or actual, and various other inhibitions stop many people from giving it a try. So little can sort of be done about objections. So if you have a partner that you really want to pop their anal cherry and they are objecting from moral or religious perspective, whatever it might be useful to consider some of the hygienically oriented objections. You can't really do much about the moral or religious. You kind of have to let people have their feelings about this and have their belief systems and to respect that. But if it's a hygienic thing that people are having an issue with, let's talk a little bit about the poo, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, because of its association with the poo, a lot of people think it's... Sorry, I keep thinking Mr. Hanky the Christmas Poo from South Park every time I say the word poo. So, can't we just say feces?
Cause, sure, it's fine.
Because the word poo just reminds me of being a little kid and it makes me laugh. It makes me think of when we were six, Julia, and laughing about words like that.
We're reading it from Rotten.com,
that's
so they're
true.
The ones that use poo.
Poo.
We can use whatever we want. We can say doo-doo.
Doo-doo. It's often
poop,
whatever. It's considered icky and undesirable and something dirty and stinky that only very twisted people who would be into. And, of course, there's simply no denying the fact that poo does pass through our rectums. And, of course, pee passes through our penises and our vulvas, and very few of us have sworn off all sexual activity because of the icky association between our genitals and pissing. Although I have met guys who won't go down on girls unless they've showered first because they don't like the way pee tastes. Quote, unquote.
Yeah, pee has a distinctive... I mean, I've gone down enough girls to know that pee has a distinctive flavor. It's quite bitter, and girls can get it all over themselves.
Yes, we can.
So. And men, too. I don't necessarily like the way pee tastes either, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So the urge to pee rises. The pee exits. We wipe it or flick it or wash it off, what have you, but we go on with life and we have sex. So we can deal something with the poop as
yes.
well.
We can.
Right. Anal sex as well. And yet many people have this impression that the anus is the gateway to poop. It is. That is. Insert one's finger through the anus and it is assumed one will be knuckle deep in the brown stuff.
Not necessarily so.
No.
This is because the anus opens up into the rectum and not into the intestines proper. The rectum is merely the route that feces take. Oh, they use the word feces. I love that. As they pass through the intestines and out the anus. Assuming one is consuming a healthy diet, so make sure he's eating well.
With plenty of fiber and fluids. There should not be any significant fecal material left in the rectum after a recent bowel movement. So,
don't try this when you're doing the Wild Rose Cleanse.
And I've had people tell, I've had boys over the years, many, many years ago was the last time I ever tried anal sex. He always asked me, have you had a poo today? Have you had a bowel movement today?
That's so I was always like,
no. He'd be like, oh, and then he'd like leave me alone. What? If I said yes, he'd be like right in there. Mind you, I was dumb. I was 16. Anyway, if I'd known. But even if one is not plunging deep into the doo-doo, there does remain the concern about harmful diseases. And certainly feces can contain harmful bacteria and viruses. Mm-hmm. Then again, so can your mucus and your saliva. And few people place these in the same category of unclean substance as they do poo. Although I think that poo has a lot of way more contagions and issues than any other part of the sex of the body. Anal sex is definitely the riskiest sex you can have. So let's not try to make it seem like it's all the same as having a blowjob or whatever, because it's not. Sexual fluids carry disease, HIV. Even our freshly scrubbed, innocent-looking skin can carry harmful contagions. Right? I mean, HPV, herpes, that kind of thing. While skin and saliva, and to a lesser extent sexual fluids, are warmly embraced as part of mainstream sexuality, anything that comes out of the rectum is still treated with horrified suspicion. So
naturally,
that's what this is saying in Rotten.com. They're saying, yes, you should not be putting up with poop where it doesn't belong, right? Or more to the point,
it's the bacteria within it that it could find a place to take hold of and grow. Hence, fingers, penises, dildos, anything that has been recently in the rectum or otherwise in contact with the feces should never be inserted into the vagina.
Very important. I think that's even more important than the lubricant thing.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, we'll call it mixing. Do not mix. I even teach my grade 10s. I'm like, no mixing. Like,
well, yeah, it's
do not stick your fingers
of disease
in.
And
yeah.
Human plague.
Yeah, and don't put it into your vagina. All this said, however, it must also be admitted that poo does stink in most people's estimation. And while some people may actually get off on
most
the smell, getting turned on by the added nastiness, most people seem to prefer a cleanly washed arse, well voided, as discussed above. Most, if not all, of the unpleasant odor can be eliminated in this way. But, of course, bowels are always somewhat on the move, so occasionally, as a result of deep penetration, some fecal matter may be encountered.
Wearing a condom or using medical gloves can prevent actual skin-to-fecal contact and may make you and your partner feel far more comfortable should this scenario occur. And some people take anal hygiene to extreme depths, however, using an enema prior to engaging in anal play. Although it's an entirely personal decision, the use of enemas prior to sex play within 24 hours or so can actually make anal sex less enjoyable. I was wondering about that, because wouldn't that like totally swell up the tissues? Yes.
Well, mild irritations,
which can become severe during penetration, especially as the enema removes the natural coatings other than poop, which protects the lining of the rectum. That reminds me of, that would be like douching before.
Yeah, you don't want to, you know, I know some people that do this enema business before they have anal play. And they think because it gets rid of the poo and they don't have to worry about, you know, all that nastiness and stuff and the stink and the mess. So they do this before they start sticking dildos in themselves and or have, you know, penetrative sex in some way or shape or form. And I think it does make your anus way more sensitive, but maybe that's something that they like. Maybe that's something that actually they feel more feelings. They feel more, you know, because the lining has been removed, so the sensitivity is up. You know, who knows?
But it scares me, though. It's kind of like douching, where it takes a while the protective bacteria and the healthy stuff in the vagina, so you're more at risk of getting more yeast and stuff
should
like
never
that.
Never douche, girls. Never douche. Never need to do that ever.
And never douche your ass.
Never douche your ass.
I just think it would be really.
We need to play that. We need to play tonight. We need to play that song from the whatchamacallit,
the
anal
the
play.
Ass.
Never put a fish up in your bum, chum. Blah 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 blah. You know that.
I don't know that song. You keep singing it to me. But
what?
No, you've never played it for me. You've
Honey,
sung it to
from
me.
What are our guests that have come before? We've played. There are three CDs. We've had them as guests.
Yeah, the wet wipes.
The wet wipes.
I mean, the wet spots. I can't believe I said that. Speaking of
they
Mr. Hanky, the Christmas poo, they actually had a Christmas thing about fucking up the ass, actually, on YouTube, actually. I was watching it the other day.
They were just in town. They're fabulous. As usual, we didn't get invited. We've only had them on a show a couple of times. And we play their music all the time, but we don't even get told them when they're coming into town. I'm not going to take it personally.
Try not to.
But there's... definitely. Okay, so you know what, guys and girls, you're going to try anal sex for the first time. Good idea to be armed with a bottle of anal lube and a towel or disposable wipes so you can fearlessly forge ahead into these new realms of exploration, or at least as fearlessly as one should embark on any sexual encounter. It can be scary. Sex is scary. It can be a scary thing.
I think anything the first time is scary. Mm-hmm. And there are some things the first, you know, you may need to try it a couple times to see if you like it. There's some things you know immediately it's never going to happen again.
Take it easy.
It's just not something you like. Mm. But other things, it takes a little bit to get used to, just like a new partner does. Mm-hmm. Anything new, new place, all that lovely stuff, new toy.
So this was our cherry popping show, and with any form of sex involving a partner, anal sex can certainly be experienced solo. I was talking about somebody who used to, they do enemas and then they do themselves with dildos, and that's all fine.
Would that
and good
be when they use the life hamster, like certain movie star I won't mention, because that's just a rumor, of course.
I've never witnessed, but I wouldn't put it past the person. Anyway, it's wise to find out about your partner's sexual history and overall health. You know who I'm talking about now.
Yes, I do.
Know what you're getting into before you get into
I can see the hamsters
sex with somebody.
I feel sorry for the hamsters.
All right.
I may need to say a prayer for the hamsters.
So this is our first time cherry popping show. And it was good times. So let's see. Is there anything else in the last few minutes of the show that we want to talk about, Caroline?
Yes, actually one thing in regards to consent. I just wanted to touch base on that. Making sure, A, you'll really listen to your partner, both if they're uncomfortable, try not to get mad if they decide that they aren't ready to have anal sex today or vaginal sex. Either way, vaginal sex.
Thank you.
But for animals, which is a completely different topic, but animals can't say yes or no. So in terms of consent, some people may argue.
Children and animals cannot give consent, so they are not allowed in the sexual realm. And
exactly.
We must accept this. is there anything else?
And especially a certain person that we're thinking of. Did you snort? You snorted.
No, it was actually a... It was a cat noise.
We'll have to do a future show about cougars.
Oh my god, I'm becoming one.
I'm the one who's been meowing for ages. I'm a puma in training.
I've gone from puma to training of cougar in a serious way because I'm currently dating someone 10 years younger than me, which has actually been fun. And I like the cock function. Works very well. These young little bucks, you know, they don't really need much of anything. Seem to look at them sideways.
I think that's great. One of these days I'll remember what that feels like.
It's good stuff.
It's been a
while.
Stuff.
Yeah, it's been a while for me, too. So I'm actually really enjoying it. And then I was flirting with the hamburger guy today, who's like maybe 20. And I'm like, wait, I'm going a bit low. I'm like becoming a cougar. You told me.
He was very cute, though. Mm. I thought he was very lovely. What did I tell you?
You told me I was becoming a cougar.
Yes.
It's at least I don't look like one.
No.
This was the main thing.
You're a cougar in hiding.
I'm a cougar in the bush.
Oh, ooh, I like that. I was going to say you're like the wolf, the Wolverine under the little red riding hood.
Okay. All right. So
stay tuned.
It's good to be back.
It's been really good to be
back. I have you back, girls.
And well, thank you, honey. Hans Claus's Misery Hour is coming up next. The hot and sexy Marion is back in the booth here. I'm sure... he's about to smell our heads or something. I'm hoping. But he's
better
a very
than other parts of our body.
Sexy man to be miserable with this man. Let him guide you into the wee hours with his, I don't even know what to call his music anymore.
His music
it's
and
hot
his hot
and
voice.
It's hot.
He doesn't even know himself.
He doesn't even know anymore. We're going to call him Crack and Smack Hour, I think, after this.
He says he might like that.
All right. So thanks for listening to Juicebox Radio. We are going to be back next week
at the sexy hour
of 10 o'clock. Can we do it? All right. You just just experienced Juice Box Radio, a show dedicated to developing your relational and individual sexual health, expressing diversity, celebrating queerness, and encouraging pleasure at all stages. Be sure to tune into Juice Box every Wednesday night at 10. In the meantime, you can check out juiceboxradio.com. Thanks for listening.